You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Do you tell the truth or do whatever you can to avoid your woman's emotional storm? Do you sometimes feel mystified by the things she complains about? And is she your partner or some authority who decides if you get to do this or that? Therapist and relationship coach and my wife, Allison Schwabe Lanier, is here to help us understand women's emotions and give us some practical direction to use when things go from bad to worse. Welcome to The New Man. Today, I'm talking to... What are you laughing about?
I'm just... You're like, here we go. You're doing your thing.
I am. Talking to my wife, Allison Lanier. She's a psychotherapist and relationship coach. And we're going to watch and see when your humor goes out and you start getting really serious.
Oh, when I turn into a therapist instead of your wife.
Yeah, instead of my wife.
Even though you're interviewing me on things that like therapist-y stuff.
Therapisty, is that the word?
Coachy stuff.
Coachy, therapisty stuff. Is that right? All right. Well, guys, you can check her out at allisonlanier.com. I made it sound like you had a picture, yeah, like a gallery there.
I can't believe, please tell me that this isn't the real recording.
This is it. We're doing it.
Oh, boy.
I often refer guys to you, my coaching clients that I have, I send them to you whenever they get into the weeds. They need more of a feminine perspective. They need to have more of an understanding of, you know, what is she thinking? What are women thinking? And plus, you just have way more training than I do when it comes to some of the deeper emotional stuff and the emotional understanding. And so that's why I wanted to bring you in today, because so many of the guys that I talk to, there's this thing underneath it where it's basically like they're saying, hey, what do I say to my girlfriend or what do I say to my wife so she doesn't get upset? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, okay, stop right there. Because that's we don't want to do that. So, but many guys are navigating their lives or they're navigating their relationships. They're trying to avoid an upset instead of doing or speaking the truth instead of being honest. And a lot of guys are like, well, if I'm honest with her, it's going to be a shitstorm. Like, it's going to be something, she's going to blow up, she's going to get hurt, and, you know, it's just going to be worse off than I was before, so I should just be quiet about this stuff. Or maybe he's just in a place where when she gets emotional, he turns into feeling like he's got to be the rescuer. He's got to be the guy that fixes things. That's an exhausting place to be. And then maybe if there's an emotional dynamic in the relationship, he's heard like, okay, don't fix her, just listen to her, but she's attacking him. Like, and he's just like, well, I'm just supposed to sit here. Or maybe he's been reading David Data stuff and he's like, okay, I'm just supposed to sit here while, you know, she puts knives in me and I'm just supposed to be able to take it because that's what a quote unquote superior man does. And so I just wanted to help this guy navigate, have a better understanding of what's going on emotionally for women. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where I wanted to dive in. So let's just dive in. What's happening for a woman when she is emotional?
Okay. Well,
you know, that's a huge thing there. But yeah, what does that mean?
And there's roughly three different things that could be happening at any given time, to keep it simple. And one is just simple emotional expression, just expression. Women, I like to think of women like the ocean. And there's just always something.
And this is true for guys too.
Absolutely.
But guys, do we tend to kind of clamp it up? But okay.
Right. Yeah. And I actually can speak a little bit to everything that you initiated around, like they want to shut down or they want to not upset the boat or anything. You know, that's sort of, we're looking at trying to control the situation or trying not to feel something or trying to manage or control, trying to like
keep the lid on
everything, be okay. Right.
Right. Right.
And so women are notorious for maybe wanting that ultimately, but that's not the way that many women get there. And really the most, I think the healthiest way that people get there is through expression. We are expressive beings. We're expressive animals. We have to move our energy, and our emotion is simply energy in motion. So
I think about it as kind of like a tea kettle.
Yes.
You're on the stove, and if you clamp that off, it's just going to it's just going to blow. So you're saying that one of the first things is just she needs to express.
She just needs to express.
Yeah. Just get it out.
Absolutely. Just even a big breath or even, you know, any of it is one piece is just simple emotional expression. It's just a woman needs to express, just like we need to breathe, just like we need to move our bodies. The second piece is actually more about connection and contact. All of the first one does too, but the second one is actually a release in the name of connecting into, as a woman, my wholeness and my fullness, and wanting you to meet me there, wanting to experience you meeting me in my wholeness.
So what does that mean? Because I'm getting a little lost here.
Okay, so what that means is you and I, as a husband and wife, we know that we make a good team just in terms of like getting shit done in the day, right? We can unload the dishwasher. We can move from point A, you get out of the way. So that's a good team you get out of the way when I cook. And we can make it, we know how to sort of just function. That's sort of like baseline normal.
Good
Nothing
teamwork.
Really is majorly going on here.
I think it's just that we're allies. We feel like
we're just, yeah. So, okay. But the point is that there's nothing really emotional happening there, right? It's just, we're coasting, we're cruising. Okay.
Just getting stuff done.
We're just getting stuff done.
Right.
Now, you and I can hang there really nicely for long periods of time. And that's generally where most people like to be because that's the most comfortable place. No, nothing's getting upset. Nobody's getting Twitter pated about anything. And
there's no real depth.
Exactly. So it's also flat, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no real depth. So in order for me to know that I can trust you with all of me, I need not necessarily to test. People throw out, oh, is she testing me? I don't think this is really about testing. I think this is the human experience. In order for me to know that you can hang with me in the places where I go and the places where I need to go in me emotionally, sadness, anger, frustration, despair, hopelessness, whatever, joy,
right?
Exuberance, ecstasy. I need to be able to express that to you. I need to be able to fully be in my expression of whatever's going on with me. And I need to know that you can stay. I need to know that you can be there with me and you're not going to get thrown off or try to control me or try to shut me down or try to make me small, or you're not going to get smaller. You're not going to try to manipulate the situation. You're just going to stick around.
So she's got one gear that she can hang in to just kind of run the house or do that kind of thing. But there's a hunger underneath of saying, well, I live in a big house, right? I don't just hang, my emotional life is much bigger than just this one, you know, gear, this one way of being. And so a lot of it is, can he meet me there? Can he also be with me in my joy, my anger, my sadness, my turn on, all of those things? And so what if she gets a sense that he can't meet her? Is that where the guy's like, oh, why are you worried about that? Just get back into that one gear where you're manageable and controllable. Is that what the guy's doing?
I immediately went to my own reaction with that. If you did that with me, I would just immediately feel angry.
Don't cry.
Don't cry. What we're told so young. Don't cry.
Don't be big. Be small.
Right.
Be manageable. Be predictable.
Don't scare me. Don't be loud. Don't be obnoxious. Don't laugh too hard. Don't be so big that I don't know what to do with you.
All right. So if we're talking about what's going on here, is that she has a drive to get out of that. She wants to be her big self and her whole self, of herself.
And a guy's the same way. We're made up of thousands of parts. Think of a mosaic. That's the easiest way to think of it. Think of a mosaic. All those little pieces of tile, those are parts of us. And each part can carry a charge of emotion. It could be big or small.
And I think what I'm getting from this is that she wants to know, if I go there, you can go with me. You can hang with me there. That if I go there, it doesn't mean that we've broken connection.
If you go there with me, if you're able to stay with me there and stay present with me there, then I know basically that builds trust for me. That helps me stay connected to you through what I'm and with myself, like right. staying connected with myself and you, which is what most people are hungry for in the world. Mm-hmm. It builds intimacy. Mm-hmm. It builds, you know, that over time, and it builds all our connection and
she's
our
seeking
relationship
that with
and deepens
somebody.
Our relationship.
She's seeking that. Like she wants to know
if I'm not alone
in this place.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's why girlfriends are such good girlfriends most of the time is because girlfriends have room for it. We know, we experience like, oh, girlfriend, just talk to me. I know. Mm-hmm. I've been
Go
there.
Go ahead. Be a mess.
Right. Be a mess.
Hot mess.
It's okay.
Okay.
So, okay, back to the interview.
Let's get serious, okay? We got shit to talk about.
Well, you're asking me what's going on. So I do want to finish this piece. And that is that because there's three things generally that are going on. One is just typical expression, day to day.
Blow off the steam.
Yeah, just need to, woo, or like, you know, what's happened since we moved here. Every morning we walk outside and I'm like, woohoo, fall, look at beautiful, feel the weather. That's just a simple expression. I just need to blow that off. I'm not going to contain that.
Right.
The second piece, as we talked about, is the release in the name of connecting in wholeness, in that full place, mm-hmm. connecting there. And then the third, as you mentioned, is aggression. And there, I want to be clear that there, aggression is not fundamentally a bad thing. There's good aggression and there's bad aggression. And to be sort of a little bit of psychobabble about it, we would call that exclusive and inclusive aggression.
Okay, what does that mean?
So we can get into that. Yeah. So.
All right, we'll go into that.
Okay. Later.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Like right now.
Right now. Hey,
okay. Okay, we're getting into that right now.
Go. Okay. Now.
So,
okay. Include me in your exclusion. Okay. And include.
So the aggression piece.
Are you getting turned on?
I've been turned on.
I didn't see your face.
All I have to do is look in your eyes and be present with you.
Is it
and
the
I
headphones? You like the headphones too?
Excuse me. All I have to do is feel your presence with me too. Then I really get turned on. So.
Stay on the microphone.
Okay. So back to aggression, you were asking about sort of like what happens when, you know, you're supposed to do the some David Data thing and she's actually throwing daggers at you. So there's two pieces of aggression here. I want to speak to it in terms of inclusive and exclusive aggression.
Okay.
Inclusive aggression is often it's self-directed. It's actually a good thing. Inclusive aggression is the good, healthy aggression.
What's an example of that?
Biting an apple. Takes aggression to bite an apple.
I'm talking about in a relationship.
In relationship. So in relationship, it might look like a challenge. So me challenging you, what it looks like for me with you is I challenge, like we Careful. Talked about it in a podcast. We talked about it already in a former podcast many, 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 many years ago when there was a part of you that you were cutting off from yourself and from our relationship. You didn't think it was okay. You were afraid of the storm.
My attraction for other women.
Your attraction for other women. You were afraid that would break us up, like that would cause everything that you're talking about here. You were going through that.
Exactly.
So
I'll just specify, like I was afraid you were going to get upset. You were afraid you were going to get hurt. You were going to get mad. I didn't want any of that in our relationship.
Nor did you want, you were scared that it was going to mess with our relationship, like right. the actual foundation of our being together.
Right. There was something wrong with me if I felt this way.
Right. And so my using my aggression, inclusive, healthy aggression was to actually deepen our connection, to challenge you, to absolutely bring all of you, bring your fullness, your whole expression to me and give me the chance to actually stay in relationship with you through that so we can deepen. So the ultimate, the outcome of inclusive aggression, it promotes your agency. It promotes your clarity with your life. It promotes autonomy with you and me, and it deepens our connection. It builds community. So it built your community and the greater AMP community, and it built us and the community that we have together, our relationship. It deepened our connection.
All right. So
that's
instead of you shaming me and being like, how could you do this? What's wrong with you? You pervert. Da, 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 da,
I love
da,
you
da.
Too much to let you cut this piece off from us
right.
and yourself.
Right. And so, in my head that I was in this place of like, I don't want to deal with this as a pain in the butt. And also I could see where, and we'll talk about this later, but this is where a lot of guys get into a trap where they make their partner an authority. oh, my wife would never let me do that.
Right.
Oh, she would never go for, you know, she, it's like there's this thing of that she's the villain or, you know, she's this kind of external authority instead of like, well, I'm going to bring this and we can work on this together kind of things. But I would notice that through that process, I was kind of pushing you into that place and you rejected that. Like, I'm not going there. I'm not going to be this authority. I'm not going to be the bad guy. I'm not, you're going to show up and own this yourself.
And I think I remember saying to you, you know, you used the analogy of locking this part of yourself in the basement. And I remember the way that you worded it. It hooked me into that sort of that drama triangle that you're speaking to right now. And it hooked me. And I remember getting really angry and feeling my anger, but more in terms of like my passion and my desire to not have that dysfunction and not want to be villainized. And I remember challenging you and saying, you know, absolutely not. I will not be responsible for this. You are responsible for bringing you, all of you. I'm not locking him in the basement. You are.
Got it. And that was big, because I think every other relationship that I'd been in up to that point and everything that I'd seen modeled in other relationships was the girl or the woman was the bad guy or the authority and, you know, the one that decided if it was cool or not, you know, just that was the dynamic and, you know, hell hath no fury,
right?
You know, kind of thing. Like, don't piss her off, and don't, you know. So don't be honest, basically. And
yes, and here I want to speak to this for men and women. There's a reason that happens. Our culture that's sort of the mainstream culture right now. The conventional that's been the conventional culture. There's a lot of shame around this stuff, and women are not what I'm talking about. What I did with you. That's not the norm. Women are not normally comfortable saying, oh, honey, please bring it. Bring all of your attraction for other women
into our relationship.
That's what I want to speak to.
Right.
So that is normal. Of course, it's normal to be scared that your woman's going to have a reaction, because she probably will have a reaction. It's vulnerable to put me in the place of knowing that you're looking around, you're appreciating other beauty other than me. I'm not the only, like, I'm not the queen. Mm-hmm. Like, and I might be your queen, but I'm not her in that moment when you're appreciating other women. Mm-hmm. So, and I might be her, but I might not, I don't trust that I am her. Right. I don't trust that I'm that in that moment.
Okay.
So that's part of what I want to say. The difference is that I was willing to trust that you and I could come out on the other side with a deeper connection. I was willing to trust and put enough like stock in the solidity of our personhood and our relationship. Like I actually trusted that we could come out the other side of that hard moment.
That's the linchpin of this whole conversation.
That's the linchpin, exactly.
Because if you don't trust that the conflict or whatever it is, her emotional storm, is going to open the door to something deeper in the relationship, then your world just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, like, what do I? Oh, okay, she's going to get pissed off about that. Don't do that. Okay, she gets pissed off about that. Don't do that. We just get smaller and smaller versus, all right, she might have a hard time with this emotionally or, you know, whatever, but I trust we can deepen as a result. And if the guy's not willing to go through that fire with her, then
what's he willing to be? How is he willing to be actually in the relationship?
Right. He's running away from her.
That's right. And so every time he says, oh, I don't want to go there, I want to shut that door or not go through that door, that's creating distance.
And she's buying. And I just want to say, you know, this is the convention. It's not just the guys. There's a lot of women that are buying into this too.
Absolutely.
But you're not a voice for all women, but you do work with some women. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's one of those things like, you know what? I don't necessarily want that in the short term, but in the long term, I do want my man to be able to handle that. Or is she handle the storm? I'd rather him be honest with me and us have a hard time or do I want him to just lie his ass off for our entire marriage so I don't have to deal with this stuff too?
Right. It depends on the woman. I've known women who say, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. I don't think that creates lasting relationships.
But certainly doesn't deepen trust.
It doesn't deepen trust. And that's the thing. You know, I want to speak about the woman who actually wants a deep connection, who wants a lasting relationship, because there's, we got people all over the map, right? We got people, women don't know how to do relationship just like men don't know how to. So let's speak to the people that actually really do want deep connection and deep relationship with their partner or with their lover or whoever it is.
Right.
So with those women, yeah, I have known women that say, wow, that's really scary. And I want to speak even to me, like you, I was raised in a household where anger wasn't like the expression of anger really wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And there was a strong desire, a strong discomfort with anger and a strong desire to keep that under wraps. And so if I'm not connected into my own self and my own security and my own ability to be okay in the world, when you get angry, I can kind of shudder. I can kind of sort of cowl and get into this place. And I actually have to talk myself through, like, wait a minute, this is an opportunity for me to stay with you through whatever storm was coming through you. Mm-hmm. And I can connect with you there and we can deepen on the other side of that instead of me just running to the corner or trying to make everything okay. And
well, I think this is big. I just want to come back, guys, because we're all over the map here. But if there's one thing that you're going to take away from this conversation, we're going to get more into the practical stuff that you can do now. But if you're trying to avoid this, if you're trying to avoid the emotional bigness in your relationship, you're trying to keep things small, then that's why things are flat. That's why things are not exciting. Mm-hmm. That's why you may feel yourself looking for other women in your life, because there's a part of you that's hungry for that deeper connection. But the only way through it is through deeper emotional experiences. And I'm not just talking about her anger. That's the big thing that we're talking about today. But, you know, that seems to be the thing. But it's just through, guys are just kind of freaked out about emotions, period. Like, we, unless we're at a football game or something, mm-hmm. we got one of these places where we can yell and scream and it's okay. It's acceptable. But if you, yeah, you, the doorway to the rewarding, deep connections that we really want, that we're excited to have, is it means we're going to have to really pony up in the emotional department.
I do want to come back around. We were talking about healthy and unhealthy aggression, and we never actually talked about the unhealthy piece, which I think most guys are probably listening for.
Yeah.
So
that was the healthy thing, like the challenge.
That was the healthy. That challenge, was the challenge.
Come on, bring
the
it.
Inclusive. It builds deeper connection. It promotes that clarity of other and agency and autonomy. It promotes goodness. Good stuff.
It's basically saying, step into your bigger self. Come on, bring
it. Yes. I want to love you into your best self.
Right.
And that love can be challenging. That love can carry a flaming sword, but it is love. And so that for sure. And so then there's the aggression, which is actually exclusive aggression. When that's what
this is the unhealthy version.
This is the unhealthy aggression.
This is what most of us know.
That's what
in fear.
Well, and what many, I think, actually think many men and women get confused. They don't know that there's a difference between healthy and unhealthy. So they see aggression and they immediately think that it's unhealthy. They immediately think that it's bad.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to speak to the good aggression.
And there's a difference between anger and aggression. We talked about that on The New Man before. I think Robert Augustus Masters was really good at that, but okay.
Right. It kind of carries a similar tone, right? So the healthy aggression is bonding and is like promotes, you know, passion and connection and that sort of thing. And connection to whatever even you're angry about. And then there's like the divisive anger, right? Like the power over and control and that sort of crap. And
that's the name calling. It's the, I'm going to make you smaller. I'm going to shame you.
And so we can lump aggression and the negative anger sort of into that. And that's exclusive. And that's really other directed. That's where it's oppressive. That's where it diminishes and negates the other person. It's basically promotes disconnection.
You're wrong. You're stupid.
You're wrong. Yeah. I'm right. You need to do this. Not that. Yeah, you're wrong. You're stupid. You shoulding all over people, right?
This is what most people's relationships, there's so much of this in relationships.
There's a lot of
guys that I talk to. Yeah. Like, this is how they navigate. It's a right wrong situation instead of a, hey, let me hear what's going on for you. Let me hear what's going on for me. And let's see what we can do here. I've got to be able to win a court case here.
And I want to be clear that people do that. I just want to just break that into two different pieces here. And I don't want to get too complex for the listener, but I just like, there is that mostly because most of us don't know how to say what we're trying to say. And we're feeling all sorts of stuff, including vulnerable, hurt, scared, angry.
We've got our defenses
up. And so our defenses show up, and we sort of move into that management and control place. And we tend to like do you and the, and that sort of thing in the name of trying to protect ourselves, just because there's so much going on.
Right.
So if we could like break it down and slow down and separate that a little bit, the question that I think is helpful in the relationship that you're in, whoever you're with, is what is the underlying motivation here? Is what's going on with her and me a means for connection, or is it a means to diminish? Like whatever the dynamic is this building connection or is this diminishing us?
Okay.
So, and there's that, that's where
am
you
am I
get,
feeling closer to her? Is this about us being closer together, or is
or
this
am I feeling
just
more distant?
I just want to get away.
And am I feeling like she's throwing daggers, or do I want to throw daggers back at her? And right. You know, that sort of thing. And the under, that's that underlying piece. Again, we might have poor communication skills and we might need help there.
Right.
But there's this, there are people out there that just want to hurt other people. Like they're sort of sadistic. It's like, no, I just really like controlling the shit out of you.
I had a lousy day. I want to take it
out on you.
Right.
Yeah. Or you're my punching bag. Like there are, you know, people, forgive the generalization here, but if you grow up in a violent dynamic where all you know is power and control and divisiveness and oppression, you're going to probably replicate that in your relationship.
Right. That's how you know how to relate.
And people right. often think that that somehow is connecting, and it's not.
Okay.
So that's, just to be clear, just to wrap up that piece on the unhealthy, that's unhealthy. The oppression. Do you feel oppressed? Do you feel diminished? Do you feel more distant and separate? And
right.
So
it's going to require the guy listening to feel, right? Like he's going to have to check in with himself and just be like, wait a second, what are we,
what's going on here?
Right. Are we deepening? Are we getting to a different right. understanding, or are we debating? I think that's a, right. like this, like who's right, who's wrong, who's a dick, who's not, you know, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
And that does take skill. I mean, I think that I'm happy to know that you've had guys on the show that talk about meditation, because it does take the ability to kind of zoom out in the middle of everything that's going on and check yourself, check the dynamic. What is going on here? Mm-hmm. What am I noticing?
Okay.
So in terms of, you know, then now leaping ahead to,
all right. So now let's see if we can help the guy out. Let's see if we can give him some
sure.
tools. Let's say, you know, he's in that place and he's not going to avoid, let's say he's going to get into mm-hmm. this conversation. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to avoid, he wants to basically, you know, here's an emotional situation. She's emotional. What can we do to help him out?
Yeah. So, well, we talked about three different things that could be going on, right?
Right.
So I want to speak to those in three, sort of like keep it really categorized and linear for the man.
Guys love that shit.
So you do.
I'm going to get my labeler.
I know you do.
If I get my labeler out, I might have to pull my pants down.
So the first piece we talked about of what's going on is just simply emotional expression, right? So, and it's great that my support here for these men is, it's great because they're almost all the same. The first piece, the first thing you do, get present, get there. Don't leave. Don't go off into your head. Even mind your physicalness. Like, are you looking up at the skies? Like, are you leaving? Are you taking off into mm-hmm. your mind?
Are you in the future worrying about what's going to happen? Yeah. Are you in the past trying to think of what she said before?
Or what happened to you before last time you felt a big expression when you were growing up? All those things,
just
right?
Just come right now.
Just get there. Just get present to what's happening. It's like, it's literally like being in a storm outside. If a storm is coming, right? What happens? The wind blows. You might start to see leaves blowing. You might feel it on your skin, your hair, feel it through your hair, all of those things. That's getting present to what, just noticing what's happening.
And
right?
I would just say for some guys, because this is where some of them will actually dissociate. They actually get out of their
yes.
body. They might be there, but they're just kind of like their eyes
which
are
glazed exactly
over.
Which is exactly what I'm saying. That
right.
you're not present if you do that.
Right. So it's not that you arm up and just like, well, okay, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to dissociate. I'm going to like leave my right. body now.
Yeah.
I would invite you to feel your feet on the ground, feel your ass in the chair, like come back, actually see if you can, you know, am I breathing at all? Oh yeah. Just come back to the most fundamental sensations in your body and actually just see if you can just stay with that and yes. what's going on with her. That's going to help you so much, you know, stay, keep breathing and just keep focusing on, okay, I'm here, I'm still here, I have sensations in my body.
Absolutely.
Stay with her.
Yeah. And even to bring a little, you know, Sarah Enger style, like, you know, imagine you're a tree, put roots down through your feet, through your butt, through wherever, like ground into the ground, that like ground yourself, be a tree.
Okay.
So feel that. Yes, absolutely.
Instead of building a case, instead of trying to fix, instead of trying to come up with a solution.
When you do all of those things, you just left me. If I'm expressing myself and you start doing that, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You're not here anymore.
And a lot of women just want you to be present with her while she's having her storm.
You know, I got to tell you, I think 90% of the population just wants presence, period.
Man, if guys could get that, you don't have to fix. You don't have to be the solution
guy.
Just be there.
Absolutely. Just be there. So step one, get there. Get present. Step two, stay. Stick around. You might like what you see.
And I think for guys, their fear is like, if I actually stay here, it might always be this way. Well, it's not. It's like
That's
a storm.
Right.
It blows through. So
Absolutely.
Just know, if you stick there,
they're just waves of energy. They come
leave.
And go, just like the ocean.
Okay.
That's right.
That's the resisting part is I gotta do something about it. I gotta fix it. So we don't stay here. Instead, just stay there, and then that's when it blows through.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are your two basic steps. Like baby step, if you've never done this before and you're scared to death, those are the two things you work on. If you feel like you can work on those things pretty solidly and you want to take it to the next level with your woman, then step three is actually reflect what you hear her saying or reflect what you see her doing. She's throwing her arms up, or she's not breathing, or she is breathing, or she's loud, or she's sad, or she's happy, or whatever. Just reflecting that.
And what's that look like? Give me an example of that.
An example of that is I come in and I say, we'll come back to fall, right? Like, I'm so psyched to be in a location where I'm feeling fall. And so I go outside and I see these big blood red leaves, these beautiful leaves, and I feel the air on my skin, and I can't not make noise about it. It's 7 a.m. and I'm like, woohoo, yeah, like, yay, I'm so psyched to be here. So your ability, like, there's no reason for you to leave during that. Celebrate with me, stay with me there. Let's make love there. Like, not literally, but let's energetically, like, hang out with me. Well, we have our daughter. So the ability to reflect that. My 3-year-old reflects me. She mirrors me. She reflects me.
She gets
yells
excited
too.
Yeah,
yeah, she gets excited too. You reflect me. The adult version of reflecting me is, oh, I see how happy you are here. Mm-hmm. You've been missing fall. Mm-hmm. You've been missing feeling that in your body. And in that moment, I feel more connected to you and my experience.
I see what's going on for you. I get it. And I let you know that I get it.
Yeah. And what a gift to me, not only to feel connected, deeper, more deeply connected to you, the man that I love and want to be with, but to my experience, which, hello, the meaning of life, like why we the things that we love to be here for, we want meaning, we want to create meaning. That's a moment of meaning for me. So you just gifted me with that simply by getting present, staying present, and reflecting what you saw.
No fixing, no
fixing,
nothing to do.
Absolutely.
Well, what about when you're angry? Like, because I sometimes feel like I reflect some things and you're like, don't give me that fucking shit. Like, you.
What do I say? Well, maybe you should speak to this.
You shit that to me. No, you give me the.
I don't know what you're like Cartmaning over there.
Wow, you're really angry. You know, just like, wow, you're really pissed off. And then something gets thrown. At that point,
I throw you. Oh, you're saying that I don't like it when you reflect.
You might
that?
Not. Yeah. Like, what if the guy's reflecting and but because I don't know if I necessarily like to be reflected. I feel like somebody's talking to me like I'm 3. So
right. Yeah. So, well, sure. I mean, there's definitely a there's that. I mean, I'm speaking to the guys that are afraid of this period. So right. I was speaking to sort of the basics. But yeah, right. I mean, if you're more comfortable with communicating and reflecting, you can actually get curious. I mean, that's sort of like the next step is like, what do you like about fall? Like, is it fall that you're so psyched about? What are you into here?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't if it's not obvious, right? Or tell me the last time you felt this way, or, you know, just some level of question that could help me be more expressed.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's, you know, because the reflecting thing can sound like that pseudo therapist thing. And
yeah,
that's talking. To me, that's kind of,
I don't think it is. I personally don't think it is. If you're really genuinely there, if you're genuinely care and you're really truly present and you really are just noticing what you see, I don't think it's therapist-y. It gets therapist-y when you're a degree separated from it and you're doing
You're doing reflection.
instead of just simply being like,
oh, you're really excited right now.
Yeah. If you're doing it, it's sort of like the whole PUA stuff. Like you're doing something versus just fully bringing yourself in that moment.
Damn. Going after the pickup artist.
Sorry.
Already. Wow.
Sorry. I love you guys.
That was a lie. All right. So getting present and getting curious, I will just say getting curious in that moment. Like, what is it that I want to understand about what's going on for her? Not to fix, not to do anything, control or manage. Because I've been around women, even when they're really excited, I can get nervous. It's like, whoa, what do I do here? Like, you know, is this,
I mean, and even
I feel pressure to meet her. I feel this or that. And then, you know, so just simply getting curious.
Well, and if we're just talking about, you know, the first piece of what could be going on around emotional expression, it could just be like, even if you're nervous with all that, it could just be like, wow, I love the way that the wind is blowing through your hair. Or like, you look really beautiful here. You seem so radiant in this, in your excitement. Or it could be anything. It doesn't have to be big. The step two, when the woman, is, or not step two, but the second sort of thing, that the release in the name of connection, like the release to connect in my fullness, that second piece that like, I might be releasing my energy in the name of deepening with you. Like, I want you to see me here. If in the name of connection, that's actually step one and step two are the same. You get present, you stay present.
All right. So the first part, it was when she's just letting off steam, even if she's excited or she's angry, just be present. Just be curious with what's going on. Just be there. There's nothing for you to do.
Yeah,
reflect it back. Okay. Now this, we're moving on to the second scenario where she's, and this, I think is going to be a challenge for guys to, recognize. And this is where I want to put a little wrapper around this, because a lot of guys that I talk to be like, God, man, she's so pissed off about this thing that I did. And she's bitching about this thing or it's that thing. And I'm like, dude, it's not about the thing.
Right.
You're making it about the thing. And so I like to tell guys, it's not about the content. You know, it's about the TV or what happened on Friday night or this thing or that. Take out the content of whatever that piece is and focus on the connection. She wants to feel connected to you. You doing this, or you doing that, or you talking to that guy, or you being on your computer, whatever, is not about the computer. It's not about any of those things. Right. Not about the content. It's that she wants to feel more connected with you. Right. If you understand that and you can start to pay attention to that gauge on the dashboard that says connection, are we feeling more connected, less connected? If you're paying attention to that, then you can start to do something about it. Wait a second. Yeah, we're not feeling very connected right now. I don't feel very connected to her right now. If you're not feeling very connected, expect a shitstorm. Expect the test. Expect that kind of weird, wacky behavior that you don't seem to understand, and you're getting lost in this thing where she's making it about this or the grocery store or some of this random stuff. It's not about that. It's about connection. Right. So I just want to lay that out there for you guys, because that's where Allison's going to hopefully help us out here.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope I can do that too. So
pressure's on. Don't fuck this.
Pressure's
up.
On. So in the second scenario, I think it's a good dovetail what you're saying. You know, when you were speaking, it what I thought about was, you know, we're all just looking for love. Like, and chicks, especially women, are like connection magnets. We just gravitate towards a place, anything that we can connect to. And I think that's true for everyone, but I think women are just a little bit more open.
And that's a scary thing. So she might be a little, might be a little edgy around that. She wants connection, but she feels like,
well, that's what I was thinking, is like, if we're not getting that, if we either haven't had it in our day, or if we're afraid that we're not going to get that, that's when we get all Twitter paid. That's when our neurosis shows up. right?
He shows up. He's like, oh man, this is going on, blah, blah, blah. I'm so excited. She's like, well, what about me? Like, there's that little bit of that, like, what about me? And then she'll maybe start up some shit at that point.
Right. And I know for a fact that
but you didn't get the new battery for the thing. What the hell does that have to do with anything right now? It does. It's not about the battery.
Right.
It's about the connection.
Right. That's okay. Right. So in the second scenario, when she is releasing just to connect, I'm releasing because I want to be in my fullness and I want to connect with you there. Right. I want you to connect with me there. In that scenario, absolutely, step one and step two are the same. Get present.
Drop
stay
everything.
Present. Drop everything. You don't have to do anything.
Just sit down.
Really, you don't have to do anything. Really? Like, I've got the floor anyway with my expression. So just let me have the floor. Mm. Right? So
get your crazy on.
Right. Yeah, how great. I mean, even when you just said that, I sat up straighter. I took a bigger breath. I felt like my energy in my arms and my back.
Stay
I was
away
like,
from
yeah,
my guitars.
Cool. Okay.
Don't touch my guitar.
Thank you. I will take up some space here. And which is beautiful. I mean, that's not even, this is a men's show, but just for all you women listeners, that is a beautiful thing. When you are fully invited to take up space.
Yeah. Bring it on,
baby. As a woman.
What you got?
Yes.
Let me see what's going on here. So, let me hear you.
So step three, focus. Girl. Step three. Staying on track here. So here's the next piece for the second scenario. There's two choices you have, and you can do both. One is sort of like the first scenario. Keep it about her. Nothing you need to do. Reflect. You can, even if you want to bring yourself in, you can share how she's impacting you in that moment, right? Like how you feel her,
right?
Like, wow, yeah. When you're so passionate about that, when you're so angry, I've never seen you like this before. I notice I feel endeared to you. And this is very therapist-y language, but right. Like I do feel endeared to people. When I see their intensity, I feel endeared to them. I feel closer to them. Mm. That's sharing what's happening for
guy's
me.
Guy's not going to say that.
Okay, so I'll move on. And here's like, if to me, frankly, I think this is totally, and I think this is true for other women too, this is a total aphrodisiac, what I'm about to say. Is
go on.
In this reflection, this again, we're reflecting here, but inside this reflection, you say what you see about what she cares about. Again, not about the batteries, not about the coworker, not about the whatever, but what is it that matters to her? What is she so up about?
You really care about da 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 da.
Yeah, you really don't want to lose this friendship, or mm-hmm. you really want to be seen as an important person in your workplace, mm-hmm. or you really want me to think about you through the day. Like, you really want to make sure that I didn't forget your needs or whatever it is. This right. really matters to you that I think about you, whatever it is. That
so there's
level
the thing
of reflection.
Like, there's that reflection of like, oh, wow, you're waving your arms around and you're doing this and that. But then that ability to perceive yeah. what's really going on and saying, wow. you know, here's this underlying
speak to the need,
driving
or the desire,
need or
the
motive.
Drive.
And that's yes. usually when she goes, yes.
Yes, exactly.
And that's
why it's an aphrodisiac
seen.
Because right. it's, I feel seen. I'm feeling more deeply connected to you. You're not fixing me. You're not trying to do anything or manage me in any way. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is hanging out with me in this big place.
And just reflecting back. And when I say that, guys, it's not about, there's nothing like, oh, you really need to do this or you really should do that. I think a lot of us are getting into that place. Like, okay, she's in this place. She just needs to do this or that. It's just, oh, you really want to have this thing handled, or you really like
yes,
just getting what she wants.
And it is so easy.
I don't know if it's that easy for guys.
I'm saying it's so easy for guys to fall into that trap.
Oh, to fall into the fixing and shit.
Most of the things that we have big emotion about are problems that are unresolved.
Right.
There's some sort of issue or unfinished business, or it could be family crap. It could be like a work scenario. It could be something you didn't bring the batteries, so now I can't fix my phone or whatever it is, right?
So the guy's
like,
looking at what problem do I need to fix naturally.
So it's like this, you think that you're supposed to go for that bait, but that's not it at all. Unless she says explicitly, I have a problem and I want your help with this.
I need six AA batteries, motherfucker, to get to this problem.
Yeah. Like, I actually need your coaching skills on this, you know, versus, and you and I have learned with both being in the helping profession, we actually have to start some of our conversations by saying, all right, am I just listening here? Or do you actually want my feedback or my coaching?
Right.
You know, do you want me to help you through fix this or navigate this? Or do you just
want me to... And I think that would be helpful if a guy said that. You just want,
great.
Would you just like me to listen
sure.
to you?
Sure. It's okay. great. And some women aren't, you know, some people aren't skilled enough to know. They won't respond to the question. They'll just keep talking.
Right.
Like that's a yes, because they just start launching into
She's just
it.
In fire hydrant mode.
So
just
assume,
her go.
Yeah, assume, unless they say, I think your default here is assume that they don't need you to fix shit mm-hmm. unless they ask you to fix something.
Right.
They don't need your help managing anything unless they ask your help managing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need your help controlling anything unless they ask your help controlling. So that's the default, right? Don't do anything. If you feel inclined to manage, control, or fix, step back.
Yeah. And later on in the conversation, you may ask, hey, I've got some ideas. You know, I've got an idea about how this can go. Do you want that? I like to throw it out there and just say, hey, you open to something. Because she may be like, I'm just still going to talk about this bitch. I'm not. Like she might still
be. Yeah. You know, and even with you and me, when we, you know, when I have my stuff that I need to, you know, move through or, you know, get out, you know, I might even want your feedback, but I'm not going to want it when I'm busy needing to get it out. It's like, forgive me, but it's like parenting, right? I know hopefully some of your listeners are parents. It's like parenting. You're not going to tell it's not a teaching moment when your kid falls and hurts themselves and is screaming, crying, and they're highly emotional in that place. That's not the teaching moment. That's not the time to just step in and start fixing and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time to reflect, to get present, be present, and reflect.
All right. Okay.
So that those are the first two scenarios. The third one's a little bit.
This is the aggression.
This is the aggression. So and specifically, I want to speak to the un. I mean, actually,
let's talk about the unhealthy one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it applies to the healthy one too, for guys that haven't learned and women who haven't learned to discern that
she's
there are
calling.
Healthy and unhealthy.
Yeah.
But yes. So and you'll probably need your help translating here. My language, but first one is very much get present, but the piece here, it's a little bit deeper cut, and that is experience the impact. And that's what we talked about when we said, see if you can see what's going on. Notice what this is like for you. Are you feeling oppressed? Are you feeling, you know, negated or diminished? Or are you feeling just simply challenged? And mm-hmm. she's still, you know, there's passion here and connection.
Because that can feel good when she's challenging and like, sure. She's bringing out the best in me.
Yeah.
But on the other end, it's like, she's actually trying to tear me down. This
right.
does not feel
and
good.
And you, if you're not present and you're not able to experience how this is coming at you, the impact of this, then you're not going to be able to know if what's going on. You're not right. going to be able to discern. So that's the step
one. Pay
attention.
How does it feel? Does it feel like shit or does it feel like a challenge?
Right.
That's going to be splitting
some
hairs.
That's often where, yeah, that's, I work with a lot of guys on these pieces that I'm speaking to
okay.
and going to speak to, because this is where it's murky for a lot of people. They've got their own junk and their own baggage that gets in the way of
and
their
nobody
ability.
Really likes to be critiqued or challenged in that way. It still feels...
Well, you know, or the... But if you don't have any junk with it, I don't imagine that it would actually feel anything at all in okay. terms of a bad or shaming thing unless you've got shame in your past. So that's what I mean. Like if okay. you've got your own junk, your own baggage, it's probably going to get in the way and mud up the water here.
Okay, so pay attention, feel the impact.
Experience
what's
the impact.
Flavor
what is
of that
this
impact?
Like for you? Yeah, and yeah. so step two is know your boundaries and set them. And this is especially with the unhealthy aggression. Know what your boundaries are.
Now, what do you
and
mean
then
by that?
Set them. So an example here is, I will give you an example, a full-blown example here. The third piece is invite her to get underneath the actual aggression, the what's being said, and invite her to say what she's needing or what she's scared of. So,
okay.
so an example of that is, let's just say it doesn't happen, but let's just say that you're yelling and screaming at me mm-hmm. and we can trade roles here. I can be the guy and you can be the girl and or whatever. She's yelling and screaming and I'm noticing that in her yelling and screaming, the impact on me, what this is like for me is I'm having a hard time staying present. Just the volume, the sheer volume is, I'm actually struggling with staying present just with the volume that's going on. And there's right. also a lot of energy coming my way. There's, I'm feeling like something's being thrown at me invisibly. Mm-hmm. So my boundaries personally for my own self-care is this, I want to stay connected with you through this, but I can't when you are hurling that level of volume and that level of whatever you're throwing at me invisibly at me, I can't stay connected to you. So my boundary is that when you, I can't connect with you when you're screaming at me like that. Mm-hmm. When you, if you're in a rage at me and you're not looking at me, but you're throwing shit at me or whatever it is, literally or figuratively, I can't stay connected with you.
Okay.
So let's take a break, time out, and come reconnect when you can let me know what's going on with you without raging, without mm-hmm. screaming, and without throwing things at me. Or, you know, let me let you know that I need to step over here, literally turn my body sideways and let whatever's coming at me go literally right past me physically. And let you know that I'm here and I don't understand what you're saying. You're yelling so loud that I don't understand what you're saying. I can tell you're really angry about something. Are you angry at me? Do you need something? What are you needing right now? Mm-hmm. So that's the place where you're setting a boundary. I can't connect with you when you're raging. I can't connect with you when you're yelling and screaming, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that I believe that's different than trying to control or manage her expression. Because I could still have a passionate, loud expression with you or a firm voice, or my decibels could go up some, but I'm still not yelling.
Okay.
And you might be able to handle that better, or I might be able to handle that better.
Now, what about the language? Because, you know, it doesn't even, you know, there's how she's saying things, but then there's the things that she's saying, which might be designed to actually get under his skin. She's got some real shit with him.
Yeah, I mean.
Or she's bringing up something that happened 2 months ago into a conversation that it's like, why are we talking about this now?
Yeah, I mean, and that's very common. I mean, and so if she's just like, saying things that are demeaning, right? Or if she's just being plain mean, I think that's on the spectrum of abuse. And so that, again, knowing your boundaries and setting them is, I won't let you talk to me like this. Mm-hmm. I will not stay in this this argument if you continue to tell me I'm a shithead, mm-hmm. or if you continue to tell me I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. That's not okay with me. That's hurtful.
And I think for guys, this is where you know, setting the boundary is, I'm a yes to working through this. I'm a yes to, I want to find a resolution and a solution. That's about the deepening that we've been talking about. I do want to have the connection, and I'm a no to how this is happening.
Right.
You know, with the name calling or the mean stuff, that's not going to work.
Right.
So the other part that I want to underline for guys is watch out for when we're in the drama triangle. We're either playing the victim, the villain, or the hero. And in this situation, there's a victim and a villain, and we're both powerless. And we're in this place of, well, you need to do this in order. Basically, we're saying, you need to do this in order for me to be better, mm-hmm. right? And you're a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And as long as we're blaming, we're not working towards a solution. So if you find that the two of you are just trying to figure out who to blame in a situation, understand that's on the deeper level, you're not moving closer to a solution. You're not moving closer to figuring out where the connection is. And Allison briefly touched on this just a minute ago, but it's about coming back down to, okay, what's the request? Mm-hmm. What's the thing that she can ask for or that I can ask for that will move things forward? Because that's a creator mindset. That gets out of the drama triangle and says, okay, what do I want here?
Yeah.
And start to go into that mode of, got it, you're pissed at me, right. You think I'm the bad guy. Now, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you need right mm-hmm. now so that we can make things better? And it's your job to figure out what you want in that moment too.
Absolutely. And that to me is sort of an Aikido expression with the aggression, right? She might be doing a negative sort of unhealthy aggression, and that's you turning it and
don't buy
and
into it, just let
aggressing,
it go.
You're using positive aggression with her actually mm-hmm. in that moment. You're saying, hey, you know, tell me what you need. I'm thinking of a couple of women clients that I've had in the past who come to me and they're complaining, oh, and he's not this enough, and he's not this enough, and he's not that enough. And they get angry with him, and they share with me the fights that they've had with him about how he's not enough. And my, what I hear, they're coming to me, and here I am taking on his role saying, hey, you need to get clear on what it is you're needing that you're not getting that you want.
Because she's playing the powerless thing of like, if he knew, he's supposed to figure it out or whatever. There's some magical thing he's supposed to do.
And you're not, there's something you're not bringing about what you're needing and wanting.
And it's a vulnerable place.
Instead of just being disappointed in him,
right.
You're not bringing yourself.
And it's a vulnerable place to ask for what we want. You know,
absolutely.
And that might be what she's avoiding, is that she doesn't want to say, hey, I need this from you, or I'm upset with this, and this is what I want to be done differently. She kind of, and a lot of, well, let's think about it. We give up our power. We want our partners to figure out what we want for us. And we expect them to, on,
well,
if we're unconscious
been
about, right. With somebody else, mom, we grew up with mom and dad figuring out what we needed for us. We figured out what society was supposed to do for,
all
you know,
the Disney
all that.
Movies.
Right.
Prince Charming comes along.
But we don't ever take that time and that energy. I think this is where the adult conversation
absolutely
comes in. It says, wait a second, it's my responsibility to speak up for this. And I can challenge her to do that for herself. And I'm, it's my challenge to figure out what I want for myself and bring that. So get out of the blame game.
Yeah.
That's the way to sidestep the aggression.
Right.
And if you can't get into a solution-oriented conversation, it's that's where it's time to take a break. Or
yeah.
Get some help. Get somebody to help you navigate that.
And I want to be clear, you know, you're saying a solution-oriented conversation, and that could be a hook for some guys in the fixing thing. And
right.
I just want to, like, let's, if we moved away from that language, what the other language I think that we could use is the conversation that's happening basically hanging out in a fear zone, a defensive fear place,
mm-hmm.
or attacking place, or a blaming place, or is it hanging out in a trusting, connecting, passionate, like let's move through this, let's get
right.
higher, let's move through this difficult place together, let's deepen through this, that kind of thing. So it's sort of like, what's the quality of the conversation or the argument that's happening here? What's the quality? Is there a need that's not being met or expressed? Is there a fear or an emotion that's not being expressed and shared? Because that's what most people just try to hide, their vulnerability.
Right.
And once that's out, then it's like, oh, cool. Okay, well, I was just afraid of crying in front of you, or I was afraid of being whatever.
Right. Well, I'll leave this for the guys. Like, if you find yourself, I think so many people get in this place where their relationships become adversarial. Even if things are friendly, there's still this power struggle. There's this, it's either him or me or her and me, or, you know, it's this either or.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to invite you guys that you know, consider, what do you need so that you can be, you know, step into the position of being an ally to her and she is an ally to you. What do you need to set up so that when you have a difficult conversation, you understand, like, the foundation of it is, this person is my ally and I am her ally.
Right. And that's actually much of what I help guys work on. I mean, if they don't know how to, they don't know what their boundaries are, they don't know what they want, they don't know how to not make it about them, they don't know how to not fix, they don't know how, they're scared of this whole the whole conversation we've talked about. It scares the shit out of them. Like, what? I don't know how to deepen. Like,
right.
That's what, you know, that's,
yeah, you're not going to get it all figured out in a podcast here, but I think it's great for us to just kind of zoom out. Here's a little bit of the lay of the land. If there's anything, I just want the guys to see that you can step out of this adversarial kind of dynamic that breaks down after the first few weeks of dating or whatever, first few months. And then it starts to, or, you know, that nice dynamic. And then we start to get into this power struggle thing. You step out of that and just like, wait a second. Because when I talk to guys, they really want to feel that their woman has their back and vice versa.
Absolutely.
You know, but they haven't, maybe they've not seen that. They've not been able to see that. They could really have a partner. They might have some bros in their life that have their back, and they talk about, man, this guy, you know, he's going to support me and da 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 da. But they may not have that with their woman. There's this kind of tension and this underlying fight and who's right, who's wrong, blaming, just building a case against one another, or building a case for what I want so that somehow if I have a better case, she won't get upset. Exhausting pattern altogether.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Allison, you know, a lot of your work is about helping guys step into that, because that adversarial dynamic can't survive if one of the partners is creating from a place of an ally. It takes two to tango in that. So if you can learn how to shift your dynamic into a place of, I create, you know, alliances with people in my life instead of these adversarial type of things, you're going to attract, you're going to have a completely different dynamic in all of your relationships. That's the only point I wanted to drive home. Yeah, so
absolutely.
All right. So yeah, this is just a taste. This is not going to be a full on course today, but I wanted to, I think that we kind of gave a nice overview there. So where do we learn more about you and the stuff that you, and how you work with guys?
Yeah, I work with guys, all over the world. I can do Skype sessions and phone sessions, and you can find me at AllisonLanier.com.
That's right. AllisonLanier.com.
What is that? Why is it?
TripLanier'sWife.com. Because I was thinking my email, Allison@AllisonLanier.com. I was like, that's not the website. So
AllisonLanier.com, and I'll have links on the New Man podcast as well. So thanks, baby.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's so much more to The New Man than these interviews. So visit thenewmanpodcast.com and join the mailing list so you never miss another update. Thanks for listening.